This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, Place to Be Nation, welcome to the latest reaction show. I'm Will, and today I'm joined by Dave Musgrave from Wrestling Culture and Pete from the Titans of Wrestling, and we're going to talk about the New Japan Super Juniors final, okay? And guys, long show, almost 4 hours long, about 3.5 hours long, plenty of matches, so let's jump right into the matches. First match, Jushin Liger and Sho Tanaka versus Komatsu and Taguchi, and I'm going to let you go first on this one, Dave. What did you think?
I really liked it. Tanaka and Komatsu were really, they might be the best young boys that have come up in a long time. And they're getting to the point where they're having their own personality in all this. And they were really fun. It was really fun watching them in there with the ultimate veteran in Liger and Taguchi, who I'm not all that high on, but I probably liked him better here than I have a lot of times. I probably am even more impressed with Tanaka, possibly because of his Beatles hair, but overall, I thought both of them were just really great in their offense with each other, and they both work underneath really well. And this was just exactly what an opener in a New Japan show should be.
What do you think, Pete?
I agree with Dave on the young boys. These guys are really talented, but the match really did nothing for me. I thought it was just there to get the show started. I didn't really think there was much of a story going on. I thought the cool part was, the coolest thing I thought was, a really cool camera shot of Liger going for the surfboard on Komatsu, and you can see Komatsu's facial expression just perfectly. But other than that, it did nothing for me. And I thought it might have been the worst match on the show.
I think you're nuts. And this match was simple. It was short. But this was clearly about the juniors, when they the young boys, when they were in there with each other. They did some solid basic stuff, which young boys are supposed to do. But when they were in there with one of the veterans, they got their ass handed to them. One of my favorite spots. First, I thought they fucked up, but when I looked back, I was like, "No, that's just Liger being smart." Who's the young boy with Taguchi? Komatsu tries to do a double a drop kick on Tanaka and Liger. Well, Tanaka gets knocked by the kick, and Liger just kind of casually sidesteps him and says, "I've been around the block a few times," so I thought that was okay. And I thought it was the butt stuff with Taguchi, that's what you expect. But I did like that he tried to go to the well one too many times and got caught with that sick delayed German suplex. And for a really short match, I thought this was a super fun tag opener, and no way was this the worst match on the show. But we're gonna disagree on different matches. Dave, anything else you wanna say about this before we move on?
Yeah, I think Taguchi is I think he works better for me now that he's got kind of the grizzled vet look rather than the, bad mid-carder look. I find him better now that he's starting to be a little more aggressive. And the haircut helps, too.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next match, which I might consider close to the worst match of the show. I'm not a fan of this match. Pete, we'll let you go first. Tiger Mask versus Owens.
Yeah, I thought this was the second worst match of the show. I thought they opened up with their two worst matches. I think Owens needs to get away from trying. He looks sort of like he's sort of doing like the Tyson Kidd gimmick with the headsets and the hat, but Tyson Kidd is just smokes him as a worker. I thought through the whole tournament, I thought Tiger Mask was the worst worker in the whole entire tournament, as in he was having disappointing match after disappointing match. So it was no shocker here that it was disappointing. Tiger Mask, I thought early he was going after the leg, and I thought that was solid stuff. And then he just moved away from it, and he ends up winning with like an arm submission. So it kind of seemed like they were just going all over the place, and it didn't resonate for me. It was okay. I gave it like 2 stars.
What about you there, Dave?
Yeah, this I would agree is just the worst match in the show. Chase Owens didn't really impress me much. Didn't help that I was a little distracted by the Teen Mom finale that was on the TV while I was watching it. But yeah, Chase Owens, it's kind of like he's kind of got a Drew Gulak thing going on with all that, without all that wrestling ability baggage that comes with it. So he looks like he's trying to look like him anyway. So didn't think much of him here. Oh, sorry, what was that?
No, I was just going to say, I think Owens gets it in that I think he was trying to do the right things. He was trying to be a heel, you know, tearing Tiger Mask jacket, trying to rip the mask. You know what I mean? But
he might do better with a better opponent, yeah.
Well, no, but no, but no, Owens' movement is so awkward.
Yeah.
It's like everything was off. Like even when he caught him in that that flipping backbreaker, it just felt off. You know what I mean? When he kicked the ref after he got caught in the crucifix pin, it looked off. And that ref really oversold that kick from that crucifix pin. So these are things like where they're cool in theory.
Echo.
And he's been in a few times now too, right?
But the execution.
Off.
Yeah, Dave, you're going to have to put yourself on mute when I'm talking, bud. Okay, so there we go. Sorry for the little technical difficulty there. But what I was saying was this stuff looks cool in theory, but I think the execution was just slightly off. You know, like they weren't like in tune with each other. Anyway, yeah, not a very good match. Sorry about that, Dave. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's just Owens has been in quite a bit now, so you kind of expect a little more of him. And, you know, Tiger Mask, I don't deplore him as much as I did at one point, but that was when he was dominating the division and really wasn't in a position where he should be. But you know, I'm okay with him being on the card, but yeah, this was just filler. I'd rather see Tiger Mask buried in multi-man matches. So,
okay, well, let's move on to the next match, and it's El Mascara Dorada versus Barbaro Cavernario. And I know I butcher those names. Okay. This is the lucha match on the show. High impact stuff, nonstop fun with some really sick spots mixed in here. What'd you think, Dave?
Cavernario, I think, is one of, if not the best wrestlers in the world right now. And I thought this match was great. Dorada, probably one of the more memorable performances from him I've seen. Their dives were great. Cavernario really, well, he did the worm, and that really made my day.
Oh, no.
His intensity in matches is just so great, and it's really cool to see him getting over with the Japanese crowd like this. Their dives were good. Everything was really good here.
Pete?
Yeah, Cavernario, he's a guy. I thought this whole tournament, his stock really rose with the Japanese fans. You could see even after the matches, even when he was losing, they were running up to him like he was something special. And I think he really got over. And yeah, like Dave said, a lot of people, he has a really big cult following right now. I haven't seen enough of his work, but what I've seen, I've really liked. I was hoping for a potential show stealer here, but what we got was fantastic, where they were able to mix so many cool stuff. Like right off the bat, you have the ref doing the comedy spot with his giant caveman, I guess, bat or whatever, sledgehammer, and he's like pretending it weighed like 500 pounds and the ref couldn't lift it. And so this was really good stuff, and they were working their asses off, and they were cutting a great, really hot pace with big dives, and everything was mattering. And not only were they just busting out high spots and stuff, but they were actually selling the impact, so they mattered. But man, that Dorada blowing that final spot at the finish really took the wind out of the match a little bit. And
I'll agree with that.
And I ended up giving it like 3.25 stars. But man, I was impressed by both guys, and I really want to see Cavernario get another run here in New Japan, hopefully.
Yeah, that last spot, man, I was hoping he'd nail it. But, you know, dude, you're going to jump off the ropes, man. Sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't, you know. So what can you do? All right, let's keep moving on, man. Like I said, this is a long show. We got a lot of matches to talk about. Next one, Bobby Fish versus Trent Beretta. Start us off, Pete.
Yeah, I'm a big Fish guy. Beretta's hit and miss for me. I thought the opening sequence with Beretta was pretty fun, and then when Fish started working on top, he had a real snugness to him, and all his stuff looked really crisp. And then when Fish started working the leg, it was really well done. And even when Beretta does the double stomp off the top rope and he sells it, I was just like, oh man, that's just what I needed. That was just like, you know, soup, just making me feel better if I was sick, and having a little cup of soup to make me feel better. It was just perfect what you need to sell on both ends. And then when Fish has that has this heel hook into Beretta, I loved Beretta countering it and shifting momentum to make it almost a counter submission. But then Fish goes right back to it. A really strong match. Started a little slow, but man, really picked up around the 3 or 4 minute mark on down through. It was really strong. Thought it was like 3.5 stars. A real good meat and potatoes match.
I think you're being a little generous with this match. Thought it was fun. Kept me entertained. But it felt like a good ROH TV match, not a great ROH TV match. And so I wasn't into it as much as you. I wasn't as excited. I was more excited for the last match, even with the botch, than this one. I don't know. Where do you stand on this, Dave?
It was fine. I like Bobby Fish a lot as well. And haven't been all that high on Beretta, but he probably impressed me more here than he had a lot of times. I think O'Reilly has more of a future in New Japan as far as being, you know, probably some championships at some point than Fish does. But Fish really works well into the undercard here. And it would be overstating it to say that he's to the point of like the Malenkos in their day in Japan, but it feels like just in terms of rounding out a card, that's kind of where he fits in. And I really, really enjoyed it here. You know what? I'm not really into Beretta. I think that's the biggest thing for me, but I always like to watch Fish.
So you have a Beretta block going on.
I do. Yeah. Beretta phobia.
Oh no. All right. Well, let's go into the second, what I call the ROH duo match, Nick Jackson versus Rocky Romero. I know, when was the last time Romero worked ROH? Like 2004 or something?
Actually, but, actually this year.
All right, whatever. But until this year, when? Like, he hadn't been in some...
Now, if you're going to precursor X. It, yeah.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, so here's like the second of like the ROH TV matches for me. You know, again... Nothing that really stood out. I mean, Nick Jackson with his facial expressions always cracks me up, you know, and his crazy offense. There was that spot where it looks like Romero gets stuck in the ropes. It looked kind of contrived, but then Nick Jackson kicks him through the ropes, and then they run up through the entranceway. Y'all remember the spot I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, and so it was fun. Not as good as Fish and Beretta, but like I said, I didn't think it was as good as Cavernario and Dorada. Again, a very fun ROH TV match, but not a high-end match for this show. Dave?
I was really, really surprised by this match. I didn't expect much, just thought it to be, figured it would be a toned-down version of, a typical, possible Roppongi Vice versus the Young Bucks match. But I really enjoyed it quite a bit. Really liked watching Nick in a singles match here. And yeah, his facials are fantastic. And, you could really see like if something ever happened where, I don't know, if Mac got injured or something, that Nick could really have a great future as a singles guy.
Better than the last match for you? Or
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you took this over to Beretta.
Yeah. Not as good as Cavernario, but. I would put it over Fish Beretta. Definitely over Tiger Mask versus Owens.
Well, I would hope so, man.
All right. But yeah, it felt like watching, it felt like Nick Jackson had some Shawn Michaels in him here.
I'm not going to disagree with that, man. What did you think, Pete?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the match. I felt, I liked the comedy parts, the shenanigans, and Nick's healing up was okay. But it just seemed like they never got it going where they really I don't know, there was the momentum shifts were just too much for me, where there wasn't any real heat or really any shine in it. So it just kind of felt like a real cluster to me. I really dig, though, Romero slice bread number two on the floor. I thought that was pretty cool. But I thought, for the most part, I thought both guys were just trying to be a little too cute for my taste, and the lack of structure hurt it for me.
All right. You know, and right now, so far, a few matches in, we're really seeing a divergence in opinions here, which is fine. You know, people are going to read different things. For those who listen to the reaction shows, they know I give Pete a hard time for his blatant sexism and love of flippy floppy wrestling. But, you know, sometimes he can surprise us by being on key. But, you know, I just want to let everybody know I don't hate Pete. You know, he is my friend. And even if he does have bad taste in wrestling 30% of the time, I'm still on board with Team Pete. So just wanted to get that out there.
That was a moment.
Yeah. All right, well, let's keep moving, guys, because I want to spend a lot of time talking about the last two matches. And we're zipping through this show. You know what I mean? So let's go to the next match, six-man tag. And I got some questions to ask you both after you tell me about the match. But let's talk about the match. Yuji Nagata, Manabu Nakanishi, and David Finley. This is Fit Finley's son versus Tenkoji. That's Kojima and Tenzan. And my main man, Tomoaki Hanma, six-man tag. We'll start with you, Pete. What'd you think?
I thought it was an okay match, pretty solid overall. I've watched all the best of the juniors matches throughout last 2 weeks, and so I haven't had a taste of Nakanishi in a while, and so I didn't miss him at all. And then you see him and Hanma working his headbutt spot right off the bat, and you know Hanma could work that head spot butt spot with a broom at this point, so you don't really need Nakanishi in it. I thought they did a good job isolating Finley and working him over. And then he makes the tag, and then they start working over, isolating Tenzan and working over his knee. And then you see Nagata and Tenzan fighting for a bit. Then you see Kojima come in. He starts lighting it up. He lights Nagata up, and he's a really good, strong, hot tag right there. I mean, he was really just kicking ass. And then you see Nagata with an exploder, and then he goes into his dead man's armbar. But it's broken up, and then you get to see Hanma gets control for a little bit. And it's kind of what you expect. You know, just a solid 2.5-star match, and I thought Finley really showed he belonged here. He showed throughout the tournament, he showed little flashes of really, like, he could really become something, and I hope he really does.
Okay, what about you, Dave?
I was really impressed by Finley here. What I really think is pretty interesting is that only, like, three kind of lesser-known, like, Gaijin on the show, between him, Chase Owens, and Cody Hall. I thought he, even though he has the least experience of the three, was by far the best of the three. And I think he's really got a future here. Apparently, he's gotten an offer to work in their dojo. So that's pretty cool.
See, I thought he was already in the dojo. Is he?
Yeah, so that might be the case. Like, it's pretty recent, though, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, this match was all about him for me, because it was actually my first time getting to see him. I haven't watched any of the other junior stuff due to having had a trip away just recently. But, yeah, he was fantastic here, working underneath and then throwing in the offense, showing some fire. He's someone I want to see a lot of.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Finley coming in this match, right? I don't know if I have I just hear the name Finley, I'm thinking, okay, automatically this kid's going to be an ass kicker, right? But you can tell he's so fucking young. He's so fucking scrawny, right?
Doesn't have that grizzled look like his father at all, you know?
Doesn't have the space between the teeth, you know? Just so it throws me off my game here, you know, with Finley. I'm on a wait and see with this kid. You know, we've seen great wrestlers, you know, second generation, third generation wrestlers before. We've seen shitty ones, right? And just because Finley was a great wrestler doesn't guarantee his kid's going to be a great wrestler, you know. But I am interested in seeing how he does develop, you know. And, you know, maybe this is his old man's plan. Hey, go around, learn from the Japanese, and then in a few years we'll bring you over and we'll get you into the NXT program, you know? Maybe that he wants to make sure that he has some world training before he gets put into that pit, you know? But what I really want to ask you guys is about my man Hanma. Hanma is still one of the most over people on this roster, right? Anyone disagreeing?
Not at all.
Dave, you don't disagree with that, right?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I think with Hanma, I mean, the guy's a, what, 20-year veteran, 18-year veteran, been around a long time. So fucking over. It's time they either shit or get off the pot with this guy. You either need to start pushing him up towards the top of the card. We saw an excellent match earlier this year. Who was it? Was it with Ishii?
Yep.
Was that the?
It was with Ishii, and I thought he was also had a good one with what's his name? The guy who faced Nakamura, Ibushi.
Ibushi. Okay. Yeah. So Hanma is clearly a guy that the crowd can rally against, or sorry, rally around. I think they need to push him higher than, you know, saddling him with these old men and these tags. Nagata, we've seen Nagata do good shit in recent times. But, man, I really don't want to see Tenzan and Kojima anymore. You know, I it feels like they're old guys in a young man's game. And I'm not opposed to old wrestlers by any means. Tenryu kicked ass up until, you know, his last match. But, man, these guys aren't growing out gracefully. You know what I mean? I don't think they're great wrestlers. And I don't think that there's, besides seeing people that you grew up with, I don't think they add value to the show. I don't know. What do you think about that, Dave?
Yeah, I don't really think they add a whole lot. Like, I think last year they were okay in the G1. But they are definitely outgrowing their welcome. But one thing I do want to say is I've always thought the name Tenkoji was kind of, you know, clever. And then I really liked tonight that on the, and they probably do this all the time, but it stuck out to me tonight that on the jumbo screen, they spell Tenkoji. So I like them sticking around for that reason. So.
Let's do Tenkoji. Okay. What about you, Pete? What, not just thoughts on Hanma, but thoughts on the old guys that they're saddling.
Yeah, the old guys.
I'll throw in something on Hanma when you're done.
Okay. Oh, if you want to go on right now, and then I'll
finish. God damn it, Pete! Just spit it out.
Jeez. Okay. He's not always with the old guys. A lot of times he's in this. They replaced him earlier in the week. He worked this 10-man tag, and he was replaced by Captain New Japan. But the old guys, Tenzan really feels frail. Nakanishi is definitely needs to be gone. Kojima still has a little bit left in the tank, but yeah, I mean, they really need to go away. But I will say, I heard Hanma speak for the first time ever when he was doing commentary earlier in this thing, and his voice was downright scary. He sounded like Egypt from the Chris Jericho gimmick when he does the gimmick on Jericho show. Yeah, I was like, what? Who is this? Because he sounded like a little bit like Darth Vader. Doing commentary. I had no idea, and then finally they showed him, and it was Hanma. So he's scary, too, as long as a good worker.
Dave?
I think this year you'll see a lot out of Hanma in the G1. Last year he was a late replacement for, I believe, Ibushi. This year, where it's planned that he's going to be in there, I think you'll see him get to do a lot. And just like Ishii, you know, had his breakout year 2 years ago in it, and then, well, he did quite well in it last year, other than getting injured towards the end, but they set up a lot for him, and I think you'll see that out of Hanma this year. Probably get some wins, hopefully.
God, I hope so, man. Yeah. I really want to see them push him as far as he can go. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you know, Will. Last year he got no wins in the G1. He got shut out. Yeah.
Poor Hanma.
And they just announced the G1, so it's coming up in August. And hopefully he'll get some more wins.
Maybe he'll get one win.
Yeah, I'm hoping they push, give Shibata a little run this time. But I doubt that's going to happen either. So we'll see.
Oh man! All right.
Did you see the G1 participant?
Dave, you broke up on me. What'd you say?
Have you seen who the G1 participants are?
No, I haven't checked. We'll talk about the G1.
Yeah, we. We certainly will.
At the end of the show. Okay. God. All right. Let's move on. Next matchup here, guys. Okada. You know, the guy who headlined the January 4th show with Tanahashi and Gato, who's always at his side, versus the Bullet Club, Takahashi and Cody Hall. Okay. Look, I want to give Cody Hall a fair shot. Guy's huge, you know, big guy. I can't. He looks too much like Kane for me to enjoy him. Once I see Kane on the screen, I'm done. I thought, okay, what the hell's Kane doing in New Japan? I was out. I tapped out instantly. I was done. And then I saw Okada, who I don't know if they're still selling that he's beat up from that January match, but it's time for him to move up the card too, you know?
He is. I don't know, he's, man, in the main event. He's in the main event next big show in July.
I thought this match was okay, man. I thought this was closer to the level of Owens and Tiger Mask than anything else on the show. This was not something where I said, oh, man, well, this was okay. I thought, thank God, I don't have to watch Kane in New Japan anymore. Sorry. Pete?
Boring match. It was very basic, and I think a lot of that has to do with Cody Hall, and I think Takahashi is pretty terrible also. Pretty much you see the Bullet Club work over Gato.
And but you thought this was better than the Liger Young Guns?
Barely. I mean,
insane talk.
Not really. And it might have been because when I watched the Liger match, it was at 3 a.m. when it first started, and I set my alarm to wake up, and I'd only been asleep for an hour, so it's very possible I was, you know, just not awake yet to really enjoy it. So, but whatever. It's not like that was a blowaway match, even if I was fully awake. But this was pretty darn boring. But Gato, they pretty much give a quick little shine to Okada for like maybe a minute, runs off a couple spots, and they Gato's in, and they cut him off, and they work him facing peril. So they do this little southern tag for a little bit, and then Gato, they do a comeback for a tag into Okada. We get a, you know, he makes a comeback, but it gets cut off. And then we get another little small heat segment on a Okada, and we do a comeback again, and then we go to the finish. Really basic stuff, and when the Bullet Club is working on top, neither one of them's offense is really good, so it came across as real boring and pedestrian. But I will say Scott Hall threw one nasty punch in the match.
Okay. Scott Hall?
Cody.
Cody.
Did I say Scott?
Yeah.
Well, Kane, they were in his prime when Kane was around, so.
There you go. And then Kane actually played Scott Hall's friend Fake Diesel too. So.
The world goes around. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Dave.
I've heard people be down on Cody Hall, and I thought when I'd heard that, I was like, give him a chance. I mean, he's in the dojo to get better. This is the first match I've seen him in, and he sucked, like, a lot. And I try to be pretty positive and optimistic. He could have potential. I mean, just being that big, you know, like, if he could get any working ability, he'd be pretty good. But there wasn't a whole lot of, like, crispness behind any of his moves, no real aggression or, you know, any kind of fast-paced any of his stuff. And, you know, I was thinking at times when I was watching it about some of the stuff where David Boy Smith Jr. has talked about advice that he's gotten from Minoru Suzuki and about, you know, playing to the crowd a bit in Japan, but I don't think that was any of what was going on. I just don't think he was any good. So hopefully that changes. He was definitely out of the aforementioned three young Gaijin that were on the show. He was the worst. So
yeah, and all the house shows, all the house shows they've done, like, you see Jay White, he's another young boy. Will, I don't know if you know, if you've seen him yet. He's worked singles matches. Komatsu and Tanaka have all worked singles matches. Finley now. Hall's the only one we haven't seen work a singles match, which is really telling because they're pretty much trying to hide him. And they really, he really needs some hiding. He's big and he has some potential, but he really needs to learn. Like, his instincts are really bad at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, though, I did have a thought of maybe putting him in a tag with Bad Luck Fale. I don't know, maybe they could be the new Land of Giants. I don't know, maybe that might help a bit. Maybe that might be something interesting for them. But, yeah, it was pretty rough to watch here.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. He's going to have to grow some hair, man. That whole Kane thing's fucking me up. What about Okada? Yeah, don't you think it's time for Okada to go back up the card already?
Well, he is. He's in the main event in July for Styles. So
Okay. So he's going to get... Okay. Yeah. So this was just his little mid-card...
this is to highlight the top of the juniors. So this is about making whoever's going to win, which spoiler, it was Kushida. It was to make him, elevate him even higher in the people's eyes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Hall can't really grow his hair out. He's got like that monkey butt bald spot kind of thing on his head. So,
oh man! And the kid's what, 20 years old? That sucks for him.
The other thing with him is before he even had his first match, I remember watching an interview with him that he did on like YouTube or something like that, and he was just talking about how he wanted to aspire to be like Randy Orton, not like someone like Ted DiBiase, who we'd seen not do very well, and it's like, yeah, you could use a little Ted DiBiase Jr. in you right now. So,
oh man, Randy Orton, really? That's his dream.
Yeah,
his dream isn't to grow the big Scott Hall mustache from the AWA days.
That would be great. I think he was trying to do the second generation, so evolve him around lately. I guess Orton is as good as at least made a lot of money.
This is true, I guess. Sure, why not? All right, guys, let's take a quick break. Shout out to the Place to Be Nation. We come back, we're going to look at our top two matches, and then we'll preview the G1 climax. You're listening to Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Show, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past through Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Senior, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman Podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
The Place to Be Nation and Pro Wrestling Only are proud to present the PWO-PTBN Podcast Network. Join us for a variety of great shows that explore all the facets of professional wrestling.
Join good old Will from Texas for our Place to Be Nation reaction shows and Goodwill Wrestling, which has been kicking since before JR had barbecue sauce.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play and join Chad and Parv as they discuss classic NWA and WCW pay-per-view.
And take in one of our newest podcasts, Exile on Bed Street, and allow Chris Zellner to give you a history lesson about important moments in wrestling's colorful past.
Listen to Johnny, Pete, Parv, and Kelly, the titans of wrestling, as they examine in depth the history of the WWF in the 1970s and 1980s.
And then there's Brainbuster, the wrestling game show, tag teams back again, the Pro Wrestling Super Show, the All Japan Excite Series, and the Super Extreme Vault for some ECW.
You can hear all of these great podcasts and more on one feed. Remember, PWO, PTBN Podcast Network, part of the Place to Be Nation family. Okay, welcome back to the Place to Be Nation reaction show for the New Japan Best of Super Juniors Finals 2015. And we've already reviewed most of the show. Now we're going to talk about the last two matches. We got a big eight-man tag coming up. Nakamura, Ishii, Yano, Sakuraba, and Yoshihashi. Okay, that would make this a 10-man tag. My bad. And they go against Tanahashi, Makabe, Goto, Shibata, and Captain New Japan. And right now we're going to talk to Captain New Japan's biggest fan, Pete, and why he loved this match. Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The 10-man tags are really like a New Japan trope at this point, where they're on because the New Japan World, they show a lot of the arena shows. This is something they always put on as like a 10-man tag, and it's just usually really they have all the same things like a lot of the same stuff. Like we started off with like a Lucha Libre. A pairing off system, and then all of a sudden breaks down, and Yano takes off the padding. All that's predictable. And then you get your Tanahashi here, and it could be anybody, but it happens to be Tanahashi lately. He's been playing the Face in Peril segment for a little bit, and then the beginning was really typical. But then I thought they kicked it up a notch, and we see Goto running wild, and the Nakamura-Goto sequence is pretty great, and it had a lot of meat to it. I thought they'd done a good, and they did a real good job keeping the mediocre.
How much meat?
I don't know. At least a T-bone's worth. They did a good job of keeping the mediocre workers activity to a minimum. Like we really didn't see a whole lot of Captain New Japan. We didn't see a whole lot of Yoshihashi. We saw Yano playing the pussy like he's real good at, and he did his token spot of taking off the padding. So for the most part, we kept them out of it. So I thought that was good. And then again, like all the pairings had meat to it. Like we had Ishii and Makabe. And I thought they were laying it into each other pretty good. And then you had Sakuraba and Shibata. I thought they were having some really nice exchanges. And everyone was having enough time for the story to develop. And I thought that was really good. And then I thought, which I started cracking up, was they treated Captain New Japan like he's Dusty Rhodes, and they did the Four Horsemen feed him train. Instead of getting bionic elbows, they were giving, Captain New Japan was giving him punches. And I did, for some reason, that just really resonated with me, and I thought I just loved it. And I really actively popped when I was watching this. And I just thought the match built, and it got into this really dramatic match. And I thought it'd be one thing. I wrote this on Pro Wrestling Only. I thought it'd be kind of cool if they actually introduced a new babyface underneath the Captain New Japan mask, and then when he scores a pinfall over like a Tanahashi. I mean, not Tanahashi, but over like a Nakamura. Or an Ishii or something, and he unmasks and he's like the new one of a really hot baby face they just brought in. I think that'd be something. It would be a nice little booking twist. Will it happen? Who knows? But my fantasy booking. I think it'd be cool. I thought everyone had their working shoes on, and I really thought it was like a 4-star match.
Better than Lynch Banks.
Yeah, I liked it better than Lynch Banks. So,
wow.
You know.
But Lynch Banks will remember a year from now. This match will forget about.
Oh, totally. I will agree with that. I totally agree with that. I mean, this is...
Such a weird rating system. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk more about your rating system.
It's easy for you to judge my rating systems because I have a rating system.
I have a rating system, too.
That no one knows.
Well, why do I need star ratings?
That's fine. You don't have to, but it's hard to. You're able to judge mine because I put a quantity on.
Only judge them though based on what you judge other matches. Like I only
but
use
I,
your
it's
rating
hard for
system.
Me, it's hard for me to tell. I liked him punching him in the face. I mean, that's great.
Like,
but that doesn't tell me
how much
did you enjoy Lawler punching him in the face?
If I tell you that I think Lynch Banks is one of the best matches in NXT history and is better than any women's match I've ever seen, how is that not comparable to saying this match is forgettable?
When you say that, that's fine. But you're able to go back and
But it's the same thing. But that's what I'm saying is that I'm only comparing your ratings, not to my ratings, to your other ratings.
Right.
You know
I liked it better than Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, that's what I have a problem with, Pete. It's not that you have ratings, because it's just that I – don't like your ratings. Well, that's all.
You know, that's all I'm saying, Pete. We all have different opinions, Will. I know. I don't like your ratings either.
You don't have to like my opinion, but it's my show. And I get to dog you on your bad ratings.
And then I'm going to have to come back and point out
Meltzer Jr., calm down.
You know?
Let my man from the north, Dave Musgrave, get his
nothing wrong with
shots
being Meltzer.
In.
Nothing wrong with being Meltzer Jr. But, I would love to make a living talking about wrestling.
I know, that would be nice.
So, Pete, that little segment there where you sputtered and spit out every name but Nakamura before getting to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was at least 3.5 stars.
Thank you, I know. I'm just terrible with Japanese.
You sounded like my mom calling me and my brothers for dinner or something like that.
Anyway, was this a 4-star match for you there, Dave?
Absolutely not. It was fine, though.
You got to remember, me and Dave aren't like on the same side of the fence a lot of times either.
That's fine, but I bet Dave's happy that Elgin got booked in the G1, and I'm not. And I think I think Dave will be in the minority on that one.
That I didn't get to tell Will.
Yeah. I'm sorry for stealing your thunder.
Oh, man. Are you serious? Elgin's in it?
Yep.
Yeah, all isn't the he guys. Like your favorite wrestler?
Put it this way. On the new podcast I did with JR from Place to Be Nation, the Dangerous Alliance podcast, part 2 coming soon. Cheap plug. We did our top 5 favorite wrestlers. One day we're going to do our top 5 most hated wrestlers. Elgin might sneak into that top 5.
Yeah, Elgin's
but
in
you
my...
Love that, you love that match. You love that match you had with Davey Richards live.
Oh, Like it was a waste of my time to sit through a Davey Richards match. No love whatsoever. But yeah, this is, oh man, really, Elgin's going to be in the.
But a lot of people thought that was a 5-star match.
Yeah, like Meltzer. Yeah.
And now me and Will are agreeing on. I hate
our friend
Elgin.
Pete, big Richards Elgin fan, a big sexist who hates women.
I hate Elgin. I'm not a fan of Richard. So, if you want to call me sexist, I like a girl in a bikini.
4.5 stars.
What, Elgin Richards? I don't even know if I've watched it.
It's right up your alley, Pete.
Oh, it's so not up my alley. I right now Elgin is my most overrated wrestler on the planet.
Lots of no selling. Lots of big moves that mean nothing.
Yeah, that's again, you're pigeonholing me in a lie. Making up stories. You're making up your stories. You're like Parv on the Steiners match.
He hit the oxygen, brother. We gotta let my man Dave talk. Dave, why do you agree with me and not my man Pete here on this not being a 4-star match?
Well, I mean, I like some of the pairings, and I like that they started off with Makabe and Ishii. I thought they could have done more with that.
Hold on. Did you see the 6-man tag from earlier this year? That was excellent.
No, I haven't.
Captain New Japan. Watch that one. What show was that, Pete, when we did the reaction show from that show? Which one was that?
Oh, man, it was the main event with Styles Ibushi. I can't remember that. New Begin? I can't remember the title.
Sure, whichever show had Styles versus Ibushi in the main event, watch this, the Nakamura 6-man. And you'll agree with me, that's a match for the ages. That's one you'll remember a year from now. So continue.
Okay. And I liked seeing... Sakuraba was fun to watch in this just because, you know, you don't see him as much as some of the guys. Seeing him pair off with Shibata, Shibata is really great, doesn't get as much as he should. Seeing them square off was fun. I would have thought there'd be more of a reaction when Sakuraba and Tanahashi ended up in there together. I don't know. Have they had a singles match, like a big singles match?
No, I can't remember.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. So you think I would have thought there'd be more reaction for that, but I think the match you're talking about was Wrestling Dontaku. Is that?
That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just again, this is not a match I'm going to remember by any means. Captain New Japan, I do want to see end up out of that ridiculous gimmick and wrestling as Hideo Saito, and maybe, you know, doing a heel turn with that. I think that's where you'll see that guy. You know, it's still like he's in excursion mode doing this silly gimmick. So, that pay-per-view you guys are talking about is Invasion Attack.
Yeah, it was sure. Invasion Attack.
Yeah, so. Anyways, yeah, this match is fine, but whatever.
Yeah, and Pete, you know, I like giving you a hard time. Like I said, I thought this was a fun match, mainly because we got a lot of the pairings that we got from that other match. But I think Captain New Japan is actively bad. He was fine here, but I don't think he's charismatic. I thought they gave him way too much time. You know, Nakamura and Goto, they were kind of the centerpiece, the big captains in the last six-man tag here. They were just a highlight. They weren't really the focus. And that's who I want this match to focus on, the big dogs, you know. And they didn't do that. And so I thought it was fun, man. Don't get me wrong. Good match. Probably the second best match on the show. Just I thought you overrated it. That's it. That's where the difference lies.
Yeah, that's fine.
Super fun match on the show. Not as good as the super hot six-man we watched before, and definitely not better than Lynch Banks.
Yeah, I mean,
not
one thing I'll close. Say, I mean, on this match, I'm looking at the internet, I'm higher than most on it. But then again, yeah. On the six man, you're higher than most on it.
Sure. Well, you know, well, I never follow internet.
Right. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that makes it right or wrong. I'm just.
Yeah. I don't follow any group think patterns for anything. So.
I like to see what other people think, because I mean, it's you never know. You might miss something.
Yeah. I don't care. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. So the only time I will say I do care is when someone says, maybe you should watch that match over again, because I think you really missed it. And then I'll say, okay, I'll give it a chance a second time. But for most part, whatever. All right, next up we have the finals, O'Reilly versus Kushida. Man, I thought this was an awesome match, real fun. Still, you know what? If you're going to put me in a corner, which one do I like better, this one or Banks Lynch? I still have Banks Lynch over this. However, this was super fun. Love the mat work early on. After that initial stage of O'Reilly torturing Kushida with the arm, the only thing I could say was, work the arm, motherfucker, work the arm. There was a spot after Kushida had fought back where he does a moonsault, and O'Reilly locks him into an arm lock. But I don't know if you noticed this. It was on the wrong arm. He didn't grab the arm he had been working the whole time.
I didn't catch that at all. I just popped because I was like, oh, man, he's got him in a triangle. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man. He grabbed the right arm, not the left arm. But you know what? I don't even knock off points for stuff like that. But it was like apparent to me, you know. And the other minor detail was I didn't think Kushida's work was enough to put the match away with the submission that he put it away with. Whereas I thought that if O'Reilly could look like he was grinding Kushida's arm into fucking sausage, then maybe either he should have gotten the pin or Kushida should have knocked O'Reilly out. In fact, I don't know if y'all remember the part. There was a part where O'Reilly actually looked, because they showed the replay, looked like he did knock Kushida out, I think with a forearm or an elbow smash. And that looked like a knockout blow, you know? And I never felt like Kushida really delivered either a knockout blow or really hurt O'Reilly enough that would force O'Reilly to tap right in the middle of the ring. So minor complaints. If I were to make a match of the year contender compilation, I'd have no problem putting this on there because I know people would really enjoy it. But I absolutely liked Lynch Banks better than this match. My man, Dave, what'd you think?
I thought it was great. And, yeah, you and I watched it together basically, which was pretty fun to do. This match is really the year of the armbar with all the stuff that Hero and Thatcher and Gulak and Music have been doing together as well. And it's cool to see it transform, coming into this match as well. They both went back and forth with it a lot. O'Reilly has really come along so far. He's always been good, but I think he's gotten great as he's gotten out of the influence of Davey Richards. And it's really cool because a few years ago, this would have been hard to picture as a finals of the Super Junior, you know, especially when, you know, there was a long time where they wouldn't even put someone like Devitt over in it. You know, it was all, the junior title and the Super Junior's finals were always dominated by Kanemoto again or Tiger Mask or any of these guys. And it wasn't until a year, I think, that Taguchi and Inoue kind of came to the forefront that they started getting away from that. But now it really seems to be about getting new guys over. And this was great here. I really like Kushida, especially his I skipped over the entrances here, but at least when I saw him live in Ring of Honor there a few weeks back, he has this footage during his entrance of himself when he was about 9 or 10 doing moonsaults off his laundry machine. So it's he did well last year. He seemed to sputter. They seemed to sputter with him a bit around the time of winning the title, probably because his title match with Ibushi was, you know, really marred by Ibushi's injury. But I really think you'll see him go far this year. And he's awesome. And O'Reilly, I hope to see get a shot with the title at some point. So at some point in the next couple of years as well.
Yeah, I'm much more satisfied with O'Reilly kind of on this stage now. You know, and I'm glad he waited a few years to get here, you know, because I think if O'Reilly would have been in New Japan at this stage when he was hanging out with Eddie Edwards, I think it would have been it was Edwards and O'Reilly and it was Richards, right? Like, weren't they
what they did at one point was, it was O'Reilly and Cole were team feuding with Edwards and Richards, or they at least had a big main event tag match, and then they switched it up where I think O'Reilly ended up hanging out with Edwards and Cole was with Richards. So
right, yeah, so right now I'm more in the
this is the time for him to be where he's at. This was a real breakout
agreed
breakout match from the tag team ranks.
So, Pete, where are you putting this match, man?
I had it 4.25. I think you guys covered it all real well. The only thing you guys didn't say, and it's just something one of my complaints was, I thought they could have wrapped it up a little earlier, cut like 3 or 5 minutes off the time.
I'm gonna address that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think it helped that Dave and I watched it together because we were able to talk, kind of like when we were there live. None of those matches, except maybe the Jay Lethal match, seemed to drag live, right?
Right.
But, you know, you and I are talking during the show. We're saying what we like, what we don't like. And, you know, when Dave and I synced up on this match, I think that really helped. So this match did not feel like it went too long at all for me. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I thought it was just right. And there was also a really cool dive that Kushida did as well to the outside.
That was nasty, that big spill spot. Sorry, Pete. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you guys cut it. I thought they were fantastic. I mean, the match is fantastic. The opening mat work was tremendous with the struggle, which a lot of people sometimes forget to do, where they're just sitting in holes. But these guys are actively working the holes and actively looking for escapes, and that was super. It made the mat work really slick and exciting. And then both guys just going after the arm. O'Reilly was sick, and he was busting out and stuff I haven't seen him do. He had different aspects of going after the arm. A lot of complaints will be about O'Reilly as he does a lot of the same shtick going after the arm. But here he mixed it up a lot and went for different avenues to go after the arm, and it made the match and really helped the match if you're used to watching him work. And I thought O'Reilly was just tremendous in this. I thought Kushida was really good underneath, especially both guys selling was fantastic. But I thought Kushida's work underneath was really well done. I thought the comebacks and the cutoffs were really done well. Everything was done like with precision, and they had so many, and they didn't have like these. They had cool moves, but they weren't like super like, you know, 360 senton type of stuff, but just like the front guillotines by Kyle. Kushida is doing the Kyle is doing the the arm pump over his arm, and Kushida goes into a sleeper. Or did I have that backwards? I thought that was an amazing counter to the pump handle on the arm.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the one over the top and literally over the top parts was when they do this the famous Davey Richards suplex to the outside.
Yeah. Spot. Yeah, you know, and I thought that should have gone. That should have been their segment where they should have taken it home right after that if they did that. I thought that was a little overkill because it really – I mean, it was brutal, but it really didn't add anything to the story because the story was about the arm. The suplex was nasty, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I just think that that's more of a – well, it's time to do our version of the Flair flop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I can buy that. And I thought that the strike exchanges were pretty nasty from both of them. I mean, like you mentioned, Kyle looked like he almost knocked Kushida out. But I love Kushida's, Steve Corino calls him the no-mo forearms. I think those are the cool when he winds up like a pitcher and then fires a forearm. I think that's just so freaking cool. And I mean, Kushida, besides Nakamura, I think he's a guy who can easily. His charisma, his work, and his gimmick, I think it's something that could easily get over in the States, which I can't always say for a lot of the Japanese talent, unless it's in a niche group like a Ring of Honor or something like that. But I can see both of them, if they wanted to, they could be a star anywhere. And then this match was just fantastic. And something we didn't mention, I didn't hear you guys mention, but I thought Bobby Fish was a really good second to O'Reilly. He made the stakes seem a little bit more higher the way he was cheering his tag team partner on, and I thought that helped the match too.
I saw Fish there, but I didn't. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're an ROH fan.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I think it makes it a little higher stakes for people like you and me and Dave, but I don't think for the New Japan audience they just look at that. That's his buddy. You know what I mean? Just like if you see give me a tag partner. Like you know, in the 90s, you always saw like you know the
Ricky and Robert, or even the 80s,
or like you'd see Kikuchi out there hanging out with Misawa or Kawada or something. You know, or. You know, or Ogawa hanging out with Misawa. You know, to me, it didn't feel like there was a lot of gravity there. But, okay. You know.
I thought that was a nice touch. Like,
and I think that's us being ROH fans.
Yeah, that's true. And and overall, man, just fantastic. And then the post-match, it made Kushida. First of all, one other thing. I thought this was the match I wanted coming out of the when it was booked, seeing all the brackets and stuff. I was like, this is the final I want out of my bracket A and bracket B. Like, this is the two guys I want to Russell. My fear was it was going to be Kushida versus Taguchi. I'm glad O'Reilly won and Taguchi lost in the last match, so that was fantastic. And I don't know if you guys just shut it off right after the match, but there was a really nice moment with Kushida and Liger ringside.
Who's sitting next to Liger? Because he showed him the same reverence. Was it Kanemoto?
It might have been Kanemoto. I didn't.
Because he showed the guy next to Liger the same amount of reverence he showed Liger.
Okay, it might have been Kanemoto.
I felt like it was probably Kanemoto.
Okay. Yeah, and I thought that was a really nice touch, and because it goes back to I know Will, you're watching this stuff back, you know, not live, but not like in time like we are now, but you know, growing up, I mean, I'm like for me,
I have tons of '90s New Japan. Yeah,
and for me, New Japan, the first tape I ever bought was the J Cup '94, and then I always got these Best of the Super Juniors. I quit getting them in like '99, but I mean, they were always, you know, huge, big deals, like when they came out on the market. Those you always wanted to get them because you knew you were going to get some action, and then seeing it go full circle here, I thought it was just a nice, classy touch, and it just made it even more special to me.
Well, I think we'll all agree the main event was the best match of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any disagreement there, Dave?
I think it was the best match of the show, and I think it's one that'll. It won't be match of the year for 2015, but I think it really is a good snapshot of where things are at for this year, and just an important moment for this year.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. You know, and hopefully we'll see what Kushida can do. Hopefully he'll be able to build on it. Now,
hopefully if he gets rid of that Omega.
Initially. I was kind of excited to talk about the G1, and now I don't even give a shit. So if y'all want to talk about it, Dave, run down the list of G1 opponents, please. Yay.
Just give me a second. I'll get to it here. Elgin can't really take away from it that much for you.
I think he can.
He kills me, man. I honestly think I can't. I mean, he just kills so many. He has no good wrestling instincts whatsoever. I mean, he has a couple moves he builds, but he doesn't even know how to build his matches around him. Ugh, I don't know how you like him, Dave. I know there's a Canadian
bias. Yeah. That's it.
Well, I live in his hometown, right? And for a while there, I haven't been very high on him, but I think this will be good for him.
The dojo and starting from scratch would be good for him.
Yeah, he didn't even earn it, man. Roderick Strawn smoked him on the ROH tournament in the matches. I mean, Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong smoking everybody right now.
Yeah, I agree. Even Cedric Alexander, I thought, should have had a better shot than Elgin in this.
Elgin had that match with Gato, and I mean that match was placed bad, but I do think they hung in there half decently with it at least. So, anyways, the guys in the tournament are Okada, AJ Styles, Hiroki Goto, Togi Makabe, Furuyoshi Tenzan.
Let's give thumbs up and thumbs down. Number one,
Okada.
Thumbs up. Keep going.
Thumbs up has to be in there. AJ.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Absolutely. Goto?
Yeah, I like Goto.
Yeah. Togi Makabe?
I guess. But yeah, I mean, he's a big name either way. You have to.
Hiroshi Tenzan?
Come on. Are you fucking
time kidding? To move on. Yeah. Tanahashi?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's got to be in there, yeah. Nagata?
I still like Nagata. I think he's all right.
So do I. I still think he has some in the tank. He had some good performances in last year's G1.
Yeah, he always does really well in the G1. So, Kojima.
I liked him last year in the G1 too. I thought he had a lot of decent performances.
Yeah.
I feel better about Kojima being in there than Tenzan because I honestly feel like Tenzan is one bad move away from being Misawa. So.
Yeah, he looks like his knees look shot. He even looks soft, if that makes sense. Like, he's brittle.
And his neck has been so bad for so long.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Guy who's a real standout in the G1, Tetsuya Naito.
Yeah, he needs to be
there. Yeah, Naito, I like Naito with his big eyes.
Yeah, what's up on him? Katsuyori Shibata?
Yeah.
Sure. Love Shibata.
Shinsuke Nakamura, he's okay.
just a little bit. Should be the fucking ace of the company.
Yeah, the tricks Jericho wishes he could be Nakamura. With the pants and stuff.
Toriano.
Yuck! I have no time for that clown.
He is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with him being in there. I think I'd rather see an outsider from like another group, like someone from. Someone from NOAH, maybe.
Roger Strong.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. Tomohiro Ishii.
Yuck.
I like Ishii in
I thought you said Yoshihashi. I'm sorry. I thought you said Yoshihashi. My bad. And he didn't make it, so I don't even know why I was yucking. Okay.
I'd be waking up in cold sweats for the next couple months if Yoshihashi was in here. Ishii. So
yeah, okay, I like Ishii.
Yeah, Yujiro Takahashi.
I'm not a fan of him.
Yeah. Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows are both in there.
I could pass on both those guys.
Yeah, they didn't.
That's when you need to get your Chris Heroes in there and your other, you know what I mean? Your other free agents that aren't.
I don't know if you know that, like, Will, this whole entire tournament's the same from last year, except Ibushi's in it, and that's because he was hurt last year. Okay. And they added Elgin, and they took out Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, Shelton Benjamin, and Minoru Suzuki. So there's two
who are all in NOAH.
Yeah, who are all doing an invasion gimmick in NOAH right now.
God.
So they've brought, pretty much brought in two guys, subtracted four guys, and it's the same exact tournament from last year. So when the big
– so we have that
– it's a WWE talking point. Yeah, and you have Fale. And it was just it's just coming across really stale. You know they're going to have good matches, but it's just stale.
It does feel stale, man. It does, nothing about this really excites me at all.
Well, what do you think of Fale being in there?
Yeah, because well, that's another guy that Pete really loves.
I hate Fale. I thought he was the worst worker in the G1 last year.
Yeah, I know Pete, bad luck Fale fan number one.
No, I thought he had a good match with Okada.
That's a garbage match with Okada.
You didn't like it, but Paul and I both liked it more than you on that reaction show we did. I know Dylan. I thought Dylan Hales liked it much more than you.
There's a reason Paul hasn't been back on the reaction shows.
I don't know. Did you see that one? I guess it was the one with it was the one with the Ibushi match and Styles. Did you see that one, Dave?
The one a couple of months back, that show?
Yeah, with Okada.
I haven't watched that yet, no.
Okay. That's the one where you need to ignore Fale because he sucks. Watch the six-man that you'll remember a year from now. And, of course, the main event was really kick-ass.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, I'm not even excited about the G1. I guess we'll have to do some G1 reaction shows, guys.
Yeah.
But
Well, we also have Ibushi and Hanma in there. So.
Yeah. Ooh, okay, Hanma. That's my pick to win it all.
I'll take money on that one.
Oh, man. I could see them giving it to Fale before they gave it to Hanma.
Yeah, I agree. And they shouldn't, though. I see Ibushi coming out of this one, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was...
You know, unless they get a real... Curious, if they really want to go outside the box, I would love to see Shibata. But, I mean, everyone gets behind Shibata, and then they just chop all his fans out at the knees. It's kind of like getting behind a Dolph Ziggler push, if you're going to get behind a Shibata, to put it in WWE terms. You just know he's going to get chop blocked anyway. Hello?
Okay. No, awkward silence.
Sorry. Did you ask me a question?
Nope. No one did.
Okay, good. All right, guys, let's wrap this bad boy up. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I want to thank Pete and Dave for hanging out.
Are we going to give it a thumbs up or thumbs down, or are we just going to exit?
I don't know, man. We disagree so much. All we're going to do is fight.
Why? I thought a thumbs up.
I'd easily give this show a thumbs up. In this podcast, I'd say give it a solid 3 3/4.
I'm gonna give the podcast a solid 2.5. Okay. I don't think the work rate was quite there. There was some no-selling on Pete's part, and took me out of the game. Refusal to acknowledge a shitty rating system really hurt the match. The show was thumbs up. Super fun show, where even if there weren't any blow-away match of the year contenders, such an easy show to watch, right? Just a fun show to watch.
Yep. Even though it was long, it flew.
Yeah, it really did fly by.
Yeah,
so.
It went quick, and it was enjoyable.
Best match, easily the finals. I would say Cavernario and Dorado was the second best. So,
I thought that was fun. My second best match, I would agree with Pete, is probably that 8-man tag. I just don't think it was the hyped match that he thought it was. But I liked Cavernario. You know, they did botch that ending, which really does hurt. So.
Yeah, and I like the way the show flowed, as in you didn't really get a whole stretch of the mediocre matches all together, you know? It was like you got a couple, you know, and then you got some good ones, then it took a little breather, then we got back to some good ones. So you never really got into a rut where it took the it never got any stink on the show, you know? Because there really wasn't any really horrible matches.
Yeah, I agree. Well, guys, now we'll wrap it up. We got the show. Pete, anything happening with the Titans?
I think we're going to record in a couple weeks. So, nothing going on. I think we are going to look at Morocco versus Backlund, our draw in Philly. So it's either we're all going to enjoy it, or we're going to – it might be the explosion of the Titans if we disagree too much on it.
Yeah, that's a horrible match. What about you, Dave? What's going on with wrestling culture?
We're still got in the works to do a sheep herders show sometime soon, and then it's coming into Hall of Fame season, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, for everybody listening to Place to Be, I want to thank y'all. Look forward to the Dangerous Alliance Part 2 coming up for me and Justin later this week. And we'll be back a week from now for the Money in the Bank reaction show. So, good times. Have a good night. Bye-bye.